Hi, everyone. It's my turn to share the weekly Alumnae Dvar Torah this week. And like pretty much everyone in the world, I assume, it's very difficult to think about anything other than the rapidly developing crisis that's quickly enveloping all of us. So I want to share a thought about that. Over the past few weeks, as like everybody, I've been struggling to scrupulously comply very carefully with all of the requirements, the increasingly difficult requirements that are imposed upon us by the authorities who are trying to get this thing under control. And as I've been trying to do that while at the same time trying to keep myself functioning, my family functioning, trying to do my part in helping the community function and help people who are in need and just try to keep a semblance of normalcy to the extent that we can, for everyone's benefit, I've spent some time contemplating also the spiritual significance of all of this. What messages we're supposed to take from this very bizarre situation that is really, I think, unprecedented. I have a number of things I've been thinking about, but I'd like to share one idea in this forum, which relates a bit to this week's Parsha. I've been thinking about this very strange concept that we call social distancing, that we're all being told we now have to engage in. And we're seeing things that are, at least as far as I remember, completely unprecedented. For the first time, I don't ever remember anything like this. This Shabbat in the United States, a number of communities are going to be having no minyanim. The Batei Knesset are going to be locked and people are being told, stay home. Don't daven with a minyan. I've never seen such a thing in my life. Here in Israel, the Batei Knesset are functioning. There are tens of thousands of people in isolation. That's not an exaggeration. That's the number, tens of thousands in absolute isolation. The Batei Knesset are functioning, but we've been told not to do what we normally do, which is to try to come together in a large crowd, Berov Am Hadrat Melech, but rather to have small minyanim. And last night, I listened to the Prime Minister in primetime television address the nation and tell us that we have to do our best to stay away from our fellow Jews. He warned the people to please try very carefully, as much as possible, not to be with other people, to keep in small groups as possible, and that if you have to be with other people, if you can, make sure to be a meter or two away from them so you don't get too close to your fellow Jews. These requirements, which we hope will be necessary only for a short period of time, although frankly nobody knows, are unquestionably necessary and we must comply with them scrupulously. But at the same time, we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean? What message is Hashem trying to send us? What are we supposed to take from this idea that we're being told something that seems to be the exact opposite of everything we believe? We're not being told to come closer to our fellow Jews. We're being told to distance ourselves, social distancing. What can that possibly mean? I don't have an answer. But I do have a thought. As I open this week's Parsha, I'm reminded, this week we read Parshat Ki Tisa. And the first part of this Parsha we also read 3 weeks ago as Parshat Shkalim. And right back then, when this crisis was already beginning, a number of people pointed out that it's fascinating that you open the Parsha, and what does it say in the second Pasuk? V'lo yihyeh v'hem negif. The Parsha gives us instructions on how to prevent a magefa, how to prevent a plague. And what does it tell us to do? Not to count the people. It was also pointed out that this idea came up recently in Daf Yomi as well. At the end of Masechet Brachot, there's a discussion about the Magefa that affected the nation in the times of David HaMelech when he violated this principle and counted the people. So there's this idea that counting people causes a Magefa. And a number of people already pointed out the idea that when you count people, you reduce them to numbers, you treat people as masses, and you ignore each individual. And therefore, the way to avoid the plague is by not doing that, by treating each person as a person and not just as part of a crowd. So it's fascinating that this is exactly what we're being told to do. On one level or another, some people are in complete isolation, some people are just being told to isolate on lower levels, but essentially we're all being told to become more individuals, hopefully, again, only temporarily, only really temporarily, we hope, but we're being told to become individuals and pull ourselves out of the crowd a bit. That's a really fascinating idea. I've also read a number of pieces, as I assume other people have, that were written by people in isolation who've talked about the positive value that they suddenly discovered in having to be alone and spend time with themselves and think of their thoughts, etc. At the same time, though, and this is the one little thing I want to add to that, How do we overcome this? So we don't count the people, but what does the Torah tell us to do instead? Everyone has to give a machzit shekel. Everyone has to give a contribution, which is identical to the contributions of the other people. Ashir lo yarbe, v'adal lo yamit. It's a chatzi, it's a machzit, it's a half a shekel. Many have pointed out, it emphasizes the point that each one of us is an individual, yes. But each one of us is also completely dependent on each other. We're only a machzit. We're not part of a whole. And what's done with those shkalim afterwards? All those contributions are taken, and they're ultimately melted down together, merged into one, and then they become the adanim. They become the foundation on which the Mishkan, the house of God that we're trying to build here on earth, stands on those adanim. So I think perhaps maybe this is the lesson we can take out of this. If we are being forced into some form of isolation for this Shabbat and for the coming period of days, weeks, or hopefully not more than that, but who knows, let's use this time to focus on ourselves as individuals and also to remember other individuals. We've also been blessed with technology that enables us, in many cases, to overcome these requirements of distancing, video conferencing, telephones, internet, reaching, let's use the opportunity to reach out to each other, to pay special attention to people who may be feeling particularly lonely or may have, you know, needs of one sort or another. On one of the rabbinic discussion groups that I'm part of online, there was a very, very wrenching discussion going on last night between rabbanim, who are rabbis of communities, who are grappling with what to do with people sitting shiva. On the one hand, the social distancing requirements may tell us that people shouldn't make shiva visits and they should only have individual phone calls or something like that. On the other hand, these are people who are at a time of need where what they need most very often is for the community to come together and show their support. And they're grappling with how to find the right way to balance these needs. I don't know what this practical solution is to do that, but that's what we have to all figure out how to do. Or to put it differently, let's make sure that we comply with the requirements for physical distancing and for physiological distancing, but actually let's make sure it's not social distancing. Let's make sure that this becomes a social bridging and that we use this crisis to each one of us formulate our own machzit ha-shekel, and then to figure out how to bring those shkalim together and build the foundations for the house of God we're trying to build. And maybe this crisis can help us all come together as a nation and ultimately really to bring the whole world together. Because really, that's another lesson we're getting, that we're all in this together. Shabbat shalom ubari lekulam.